Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. First verse of the text that we consider says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." We'll see tonight is that that's a reference to the preaching of the word and the explanation. We read Nehemiah chapter 8, we'll see that it's always been the case in the worship of God's name that not only is the word read, it is explained. And around verses 7 and 8. So let's read tonight in the worship of God's name, Nehemiah chapter 8. "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Messiah, and on his right hand, and on the left hand, Padiah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashbananah, Zechariah, and Meshul. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua and Benai and Sherebiah and Jamin and Akab and Shabbathai and Hodijah and Messiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law. The people stood in their place. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand." And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto the people, "This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, "Hold your peace, for the day is holy in this house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim." And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booths, for since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day until the last, he read in the book of the law. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto. So far we read from Nehemiah. Now let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and read the end of that chapter, which is the text for the sermon tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll look at tonight verses 1 Timothy 4, 13 through 16. Paul says to Timothy, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll notice that in our series through 1 Timothy, we are skipping over verse 12, which says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Skipping over verse 12, because a couple of years ago, a little bit more than that, that was the first service. My Uncle Bob, Professor Decker, preached on 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, that night that I was ordained. And instead of preaching on that again, We'll move on through that to the next verses tonight. That was an appropriate verse, obviously, in connection with my ordination. Let no man despise thy youth, a man in his mid-20s being ordained. That was a good word for me to hear, as well as for the congregation to hear, and a great reminder at the outset of my ministry of the calling to do exactly as Paul says, be an example listed in that text. But because that was preached on, relatively speaking, so long ago, I guess a couple days, quite a while ago, I thought I'd move on and treat tonight instead verses 3 through 16. Let's do that using as the theme, neglect not the gift of God. The 3 points, the meaning, the manner, and then the blessing. Neglect not the gift of God, the meaning, the blessing. In this section in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is directing his instructions specific to Timothy as a pastor. That's a theme in 1 Timothy. He goes from group to group, giving specific instruction to members in the church. That's evident when you read verse 6 of 1 Timothy 4. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister, Jesus Christ. And basically from that point on in chapter 4 to the end of this chapter, Paul addresses specifically Timothy as a pastor. And that becomes very evident in these last 4 verses of this chapter that we look at tonight. That means, obviously, is that the Word of God is directed to your pastor, myself, in a special way. I preach to myself, obviously, to hear the Word that I bring every Sunday to myself as a pastor. Nevertheless, I want to make the point at the outset tonight that it's good for all of us as a congregation to hear this Word specifically that is directed to me as a minister of God's Word. That's true for a couple of reasons. In the first place, within these verses itself, it says something to you and about you as the congregation, at least in a couple of places. In the end of verse 15, it says that thy profiting may appear to all. So there he says something about all who are in the church of Ephesus who hear of Timothy and experience the work that Timothy does. And then in verse 16, even more specifically, it says that Timothy must do these things because in doing them, he saves himself and... So the whole point of this passage, although it's specifically directed to Timothy as a minister, has an eye on those who hear. And so the Word of God is directed to me as a pastor with an eye on you as the congregation so that the profiting may appear to and so that salvation through the office of a minister may be brought to. So that in the first place, though it's directed to me specifically, there's specific things that says about you as the congregation. Second reason, it's good for all of us to hear this Word. You can pray for me. You read these words that are directed to me as a minister in regarding what I'm called to do as a minister. You need to hear that so that you've written prayer for me. I need those prayers as a pastor in God. It's humbling to come to a text like this and to sit through a week and think about these things, preach a sermon on these things. And you recognize the absolute need for help in this. And so I say this very, very sincerely and very honestly. Pray for me. Pray for me in this regard specifically, that I not neglect the gift that was me and that I give attendance to reading, exhortation, and to doctrine, and that I meditate upon these things and give myself wholly to them and to myself. It's a special work that the elders are called in their work of overseeing the congregation as a pastor to make sure that I do these things. I covet on behalf of all of you who that I conduct. Do that and help me. So it's good for us all to hear that. The main point of this passage as it relates to a minister's conduct in his church, what he's called to do regarding making sure he stays on top of the work and does it in a right way. When you come to a passage like this where there's several exhortations given to Timothy, you have to zero in on something and relate everything else around that main point. And there are several things in these verses that you give your focus to. As you can tell from the sermon, what I want to do is focus on verse 4 and then relate everything around what we have in verse 4. Verse 14 says, neglect not the gift I want to use that as the starting point and then show how the other exhortation and support that idea of not neglecting the gift that is in me. So the first point is on the meaning of that idea of not neglecting the gift. The second point will be on the manner. How is it that a man doesn't neglect the gift? And the manner is the other exhortations. If he gives attendance to reading and exhortation and doctrine, if he meditates upon these things unto himself, he will, by doing those things, not neglect the gift. And then we'll see in the third place tonight the blessing of that, the blessing of not neglecting the gift, among other things, is self for me. So that's going to be our focus tonight, the neglecting not of the gift. The main principle of this text is one that applies not simply to me as a minister, but to all of us as Christians. The principle of the text is that God gives gifts. And as the giver of good gifts, the calling that we have is not to neglect them, but instead use them and be good stewards of them. Paul takes that idea and directs it specifically to Timothy as a pastor. And we'll get into what that gift is. Every one of us sitting tonight, God has given you a gift, many gifts, and the calling is not to neglect them. Those of you who are in high school, the case that God has given you a sharp mind, a good intellect, you have a calling not to neglect that gift that God has given you. If you have a sharp mind, a good intellect, classes at Covenant, challenge yourself. Take the more difficult classes. Even if those are easy for you and you can breeze through them, still don't neglect the gift. Read more. Read above and beyond. Challenge yourself. Be a good steward of that gift that God has given of a good mind, or as a young person, God has given you ability. Use that gift. Be a good steward of that gift. Don't neglect that gift. And that goes for all of us in various callings that we have and various gifts that God has given us. Words of them. That's the main principle of this text that the Apostle Paul applies specifically as a pastor. He says not to neglect the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hand of the presbytery. The gift of which the apostles speak there is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that was given to Timothy for the exercise of the office of the ministry of the Word. Notice specifically in the text that Paul says that it's the gift that is not just given to thee, but it's the gift that is in thee. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. And what's in thee specifically is, now the Holy Spirit is obviously a gift that is in every one of us. All of us as Christians, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit dwells in our hearts and in our souls. In a special way, with respect to offices in the church, the Spirit in men, ordaining them and equipped to do the work, particular office. We know that that's the gift of which the apostle is speaking because of the manner in which it was given to him. The text lays that out. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. The Holy Spirit came upon Timothy in a special way when there was this prophecy, this bringing of the word, along with the laying on. That's a reference to the ordination of Timothy to the ministry of the gospel. And at that time specifically, the Holy Spirit came upon Timothy, ordaining him into the office and equipping him to do the work. We know that it's the Spirit specifically that is spoken of here because of other passages that refer to this idea of the laying on of the hands. Laying on of the hands was something done in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The parallel in the Old Testament that's not present in the New Testament, the ceremony of anointing. Both of these ceremonies, laying on of the hand and anointing with oil, refer to the same thing. And the Scriptures make clear that it refers to the giving of the Spirit to the man on whom the hands are laid and the man anointed with oil. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, is one passage that makes this clear with respect to the laying on of the hands. 34, verse 9 of Deuteronomy, This is Moses preparing to die, meaning Joshua to the being leader of the children of Israel as they anticipate. We read this in Deuteronomy 3, verse 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. So the spirit there, wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded. Another example of that is when Paul and Barnabas were sent out on their mission in Acts 13 through 4. We see again this connection between the laying on of hands and the Holy Spirit coming on a man. Acts 13 through 4, we read this, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, so they, be sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia and to Cyprus. See there again that close connection between this ceremony of the Spirit coming in a man is essential for a couple of reasons, and I've said them already, but a little bit more fully. In the first place, the Spirit coming on a man ordains him into the office, gives him the right to do the work in the office. In 1 Timothy 4, we read in verse, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. We'll see a little bit later in the sermon that that's a reference to what Timothy does in the official worship of God's name, the bringing of the Word of God. No man can just do that. A man has to be appointed by God to do that. And that's the significance of the laying on of the hands and the prophecy. Through that, a man is appointed to do the work, has the right to do the work because the Spirit. And then the second essential part about the Spirit coming upon him is the fact that the Spirit equips the man to do the work. It needs to be a Spirit-filled work, a God-empowered work. No man can do it in and of himself. And it's the Spirit that helps him and enables him in the office. And so to summarize, when you look at verse 13, is told by Paul not to neglect the gift that is in thee. We can say that it's the gift of the Spirit in him that places him into the office. That gift of the ministry of the Word because of the Spirit's work in him is called not. That word neglect in the text is a word seldom used in the New Testament. And I'll get to that in a little bit. Let me say this before I get into the neglecting in and of itself. The fact that Timothy is told not to neglect this gift does not necessarily imply that he was neglecting the gift. Paul is strong here. And that's why it's difficult sometimes when you look at your own weakness and read these words. He comes with exhortation. Timothy, neglect not the gift. It's not a suggestion, it's an exhortation. Don't do this. My point simply is that it's not necessarily the case that Timothy was neglecting the gift, in that Timothy was not necessarily meditating upon these things or giving himself wholly. Just as it's the case that every time you hear an exhortation from the pulpit, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are walking headlong in that sin that is spoken of in that exhortation. God uses hearing exhortation to keep us where in a narrow path. So that when you hear an exhortation, thou shalt not commit adultery or thou shalt not steal. Not to neglect that gift. But we can talk a little bit about what would be neglecting. It starts with an attitude. He would be neglecting the gift and I would be neglecting the gift that is in me if I made light of it and I said, concerning the office of the ministry, it's no big deal. Don't need to worry much about the work that I don't have to have a right mind frame regarding the ministry of the gospel and the bringing of this. And if you have that light attitude to the ministry of the gospel, it'll flow into the way that you work, which would be a manifestation of neglecting the gift. And the manner in which a man that neglects the gift would work is doing everything half-heartedly, just trying to get it done. You can move on to other things. Pursuing the ministry part-time. Spending half of the week on sermons and half of the week on other activities, trying to make money in other ways, being lazy, of not giving yourself completely to the work of the ministry. All sorts of ways in which it can make light of the office. Paul says to Timothy, don't do that. And what he says as well in this text is this is what you must do positively, when if you do them, you will not be neglecting the gift that was given, that he is to operate and I am to operate so as to make sure that the gift is not neglected. We can start with verse 13. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. If I give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and doctrine, I'm not neglecting the office. What's this a reference to? Reading is not a reference to the reading of books, the reading of other literature beside the Word of God. Now that's an important part of the work of even Paul elsewhere. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, he says this, the cloak that I left in Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, the parchments. Paul wanted to read. It was a part of what he, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And that's for myself as well, and any other pastor, reading other literature on the Word of God, and even beyond that, part of the work. But that's not the reference to in this passage. Reading spoken of in this passage is sacred scriptures in the public worship of God's name. For example, in Luke chapter 4 through 21, we read this. This is right at the beginning of in his hometown of Nazareth. He was in the synagogue, and this is what we read. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as the custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, is found in that passage. It's clear that when Paul says to Timothy, what he's talking about is the public reading of the Scripture. He needs to give attendance to these, to do these things. He needs to be diligent. I think we don't understand the importance of that as much as they would have in that day that he was writing to Timothy. First of all, as an act of worship, and second of all, for the edification of this today. Today, the Word of God and the worship, but we could go home and have all 66 books of the Bible and open anywhere we want and at any time. When Paul wrote this to Timothy, the people in the church at that time didn't have the Word of God in their homes the same way we have it today. And that's why Paul says to Timothy to be absolutely diligent in so that when you come together for the worship of God's name, the people of God hear the Word of God. And we don't neglect that today. Read the Scriptures. And read the Scriptures, we have to read. It's not just to prepare. We read the Scriptures in and of themselves to be edified, and also as an act of the worship name. And that's why sometimes it's okay to read a chapter that has 70, or we do spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes in a passage of God, reading in and of itself of God's name. Paul says to Timothy, he follows that with exhortation and doctrine. And you put those two together, and what Paul is telling Timothy is don't only read them, but make sure that you explain them and cause the people to understand what they say. And it's in that connection that we read in Nehemiah chapter 8. It's always been the case that when it comes to the public worship of God's name, not only is the word read, but the word is explained. The reference here is to the preaching word of God. Exhortation, that word is not referring just to the giving of commandments. It literally means to call near or to summons. And the idea is you call someone to explain something to them, to encourage them, to comfort them. Yes, at times to admonish them. The word exhortation is of the practical application of the Word of God to the doctrine. That second word has the emphasis of a clear, systematic teaching truths of God's Word. Both of those. Paul says to Timothy, point that out from Nehemiah chapter 8. This is the return from the captivity. They had the book of the law, and we read in the opening verses as that they read that law, and then we read at the end of verse 7 that they caused the people to understand that law. And then in verse 8, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense. That is to say, they explained, they made it clear what it meant and caused them to understand. Paul says to every pastor in God's church, give attendance, be diligent, reading of God's word. You're not neglecting the office of the ministry. It's a calling that comes to me. You can know as a congregation that you have elders that help me in that. They make it possible for me. I have the time to do exactly this, giving attendance to the word, time during the week to write this sermon. You need to know as a congregation something that as a pastor I think about often. I think often about how I balance my time, every so often even tracking it, a very practical way of making sure that 80% of my week is taken up with things other than the sitting down with the God's Word, preparing the Word of God for sermon. Something prayerfully and thoughtfully I strive to do regularly, that I'm not neglecting what is the most important part of my work as a pastor on Sunday. And this is an area to make sure that I don't get sidetracked. But week after week after week, exhortation and doctrine. In order not to neglect that gift, Timothy was also, 15 says, to meditate upon these things and give himself wholly. You have to ask the question first of what these things are. Meditate upon these things. I believe that these things are what we're not preaching on tonight, the end of verse 12. The list that Paul gives Timothy that he's being an example of. An example in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith. And he's to meditate upon these things. And literally there the idea is to give attendance to and to practice these things and to give himself wholly to them. It's even stronger in the original. It says, in these things. The idea simply is that Paul is telling Timothy to give yourself fully. You need to immerse yourself in these things spoken of in verse 12, the Word of God, and not only hearing that Word, reading that Word, but just as every Christian is called to immerse themselves in the living out of the Word of God. And then he says in verse 16, in order not to neglect the gift, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Every Christian has a calling of self-examine. Every single one of us has to examine ourselves regularly in all of the spheres of our life. Regularly as a father, you need to say, am I being a faithful father? As a husband, am I giving myself for my wife? As a wife and as a mother, the same, or in whatever calling to which God has called ourselves, examine ourselves and make sure that what we are doing is for the Word of God. Paul says here, specifically for a pastor, to yourself, in your conduct in life, and also to the doctrine. Constantly I need to ask myself, am I living? And constantly I have to ask myself, what am I bringing on the Lord's Day? Is what I bring on the Lord's Day the Word of God? And of course, that's humbling. Whenever we do, in any sphere of our life, every father who really looks at himself carefully or husband who looks at us to themselves, but nevertheless, God says, do this regularly. He's pleased to show the way of error and weakness, allow someone to go on in the way. But that's part of not neglecting the gift. You make light of it. And I would make light of it if I never thought about these things. But I have to think about them constantly. Or the blessing of this is a couple of things. The blessing of not neglecting the gift in the first place is a phrase at the end of verse 15 that we haven't touched on. That thy profiting may appear to all. If a man does not neglect the gift, the fruit of that or the blessing of that is that the profiting will appear to all. The idea of profiting there is, or progress. The devil loves complacency. In all of our lives, if you're complacent, if you're satisfied with where you're at, and you're not striving to develop, to be a better father, a better husband, the devil has you where you're at. Just going through life, going through the motions, and not striving to grow in our sanctification and grow in the gifts that God has given us. Paul says here that if you don't neglect the gift, give yourself wholly to them. The profiting may appear to all. The progress, the advance to all. One that I recognize even you get to a certain level and ability, it doesn't take quite as long to write the sermon. But Paul says here, don't neglect the gift, but if you're constantly as an 8-year-old or as a 50-year-old or as a 65-year-old, giving yourself wholly to the work, the profiting in this, there will be growth and development in the ability to be pointed, more pointed, and the Word of God will be brought faithful. Another area that I won't be satisfying, but that clearer words of God, sharper application. The second blessing is salvation. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, which supports the idea of neglecting not the gift, and continue in them. And here's the blessing. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that salvation. We mustn't be alarmed by the language Paul uses of a human age and salvation. He says to Timothy, you'll save yourself and them that hear thee. We mustn't be alarmed by that language. He uses that elsewhere. This idea of a human age, salvation. Corinthians 9, the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Another example is very end of the book, James 5, verse 20. Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude. Both of those passages, just like ours. Save yourself and them. What we need to remember is a point that was made sermon, that the gift spoken of specifically is that of the office of the minister with the Spirit in him. And so we're talking about Timothy in this passage as a minister of God's Word, in office as a representative of... And when you remember that, clear, he's not saying that Timothy is the one who actually saves himself apart from God. Of course not. What he's saying here is that in the hand of Jesus to save himself, when he does not neglect the gift, and when I don't neglect the gift, because in not neglecting the gift, there is attendance given to the reading and the preaching of the Scriptures that declare whom? In Christ crucified. If a man gives himself wholly to and meditates upon these things and prepares the Word of God for sermons that exalts Jesus Christ week in and week out, the fruit of that is nothing less. If the gift is not neglected, Christ and Christ crucified, week is preached, and the preaching of Christ work crucified in souls. The preaching to myself as a pastor, beloved, that causes shivers. If you do neglect the gift, not salvation for those who hear and for your, when it's made light of, and when something other than the truth, because attendance and diligent work was not given, is preached, the fruit of that over many years. I say again, a word like leads you to see the absolute seriousness. And to every single pastor in our churches and the world over, pray for the elders who encourage and help me. And don't pray for me, just pray for me in this regard, thinking about your fellow brother. And for the children God has given us, in not neglecting the gift. Father, which art in heaven, thank thee for this word. Pray for thy blessing upon it. We, Heavenly Father, that thou wilt allow us to take it to heart and it for the good of our congregation, that thou wilt continue to save us and through the preaching of Jesus Christ and him forgive what was said or heard in sin.